Brother Robert today has asked that we read from Psalm 90, Psalm chapter 90. While you're finding that in your Bibles, I'd like to tell you something that happened to me last night at Nell's grocery store parking lot. Martha and I had gone down to get a few things for today, and we were sitting in the car, and I witnessed a man, and he backed up walking. He was out of his vehicle and went against another car and knocked the mirror off. It was a BMW. I thought, that's an expensive car to knock the mirror off, especially if you can just sort of bump it and it falls off. And that's what happened. I thought, well, we'll just watch this for a little and see what happened. The man came out. Well, the man who bumped it waited. And the man that came out wasn't very happy when he got there. There was nothing broken, and the man who owned the car pushed on the mirror quite a while, and he was getting madder and madder all the while, but finally it did click back in. He got in the car and tried it, and the mirror worked. And he said to the man that knocked it off, "Well, I guess you lucked out," and proceeded to sort of fuss him. And then he ended with a statement that I thought about the whole way home. He said, "This car is my pride and joy." And you know, that challenged me. I learned a lot in Nell's parking lot last evening. What do I consider my pride and joy? I would hope that it would be something other than a car. Reading from Psalm chapter 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, "Return, ye children of men." For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning are they like grass which groweth up, and in the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establisheth thou. These words on the heart, shall we kneel for prayer?
Thank you, brother, for the wonderful prayer. And to be teased in an invitation, a blessing to everyone that's here tonight. And hopefully we'll say something that you can take along home. Some time ago, a piece came out of our newspaper that I'd like to read to you tonight. Christians today are very much under attack from the mainstream media And the attacks seemed to get worse every day. MSNBC's Chris Matthews even made the statement that the group in this country that most resembles the Taliban is the religious right. Isn't that something? Many people do not know our American history. Our founding fathers created a nation unparalleled in the history of the world by founding it on God's principles, realizing that fallible man is nothing without his creator. At that time, Christians were preferred for government leadership. As generations went by, corrupt men infiltrated the government, making ungodly laws and finally twisting the separation of church and state phrase to mean the protection of government from religion instead of its original meaning, protection of religion from government. This fits their destructive agenda and allows them to label Christians as fanatics when we speak out for God's commandments. Since this twisting of the separation clause, God been dismissed from our schools and government, and the evolution theory has been accepted along with abortion, same-sex marriage, pornography, and all manner of immorality, thereby undermining the very foundation of our once great country. Now the Bible, this writer did say, the Bible in 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us that if we humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways, He will forgive our sins and heal our land. We need Him back, folks, desperately. A quote from George Washington, "It is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God in the Bible." Wonder what he would think about today's version. Just something I thought would be good to think about. One day a teacher wrote the number 25,550 on the blackboard. And of course the students wondered what this would mean. And so one of them asked why the teacher put that number there. She then explained that the number said how many days there are in the life of a person who lives 70 years. She was emphasizing the brevity of life. You know, when we're 60 or younger, we don't hardly think about we might die soon, don't we? I mean, we're just so busy and we don't think about our life's about over. But when we get older, we start to think about that a little bit. I know my wife and I do, since we're 20 or a little more than that years older. And so we have Psalm 90, which tells us a little bit about the brevity of life. And I don't expect to spend a lot of time here on Psalm 90, but there are a few verses that really stand out, and we know them. We know them from a long time already. But verse 4, "For 1,000 years in thy sight are as but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thy anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled." Verse 9, "For our days, all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." And we could go on and on. Verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." We hear some of these things at funerals, not too much other times. Psalm 90 is a reminder of the brevity of our life. Many people today believe God, believe in God, but to trust him is another matter. When we trust in someone or something, we depend on that person. We are relying on that person. What does it mean to you to trust? To trust the living God? We take the message of the Bible as true. We trust it. We believe it. That's why we're here tonight, because we believe and we trust in the scriptures that they're going to, what's told here is going to be come to pass. It's going to be true. We take this message as truth, and then we trust the Bible as being God's word to us. That's the way it should be. We need to trust and obey. Gelijk du in hemel gee. That's Dutch. Pennsylvania Dutch. And it's really saying this. Would you like to go to heaven? Well, we have a song that says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all we'll trust and obey. We trust in him. We trust in him for today, tomorrow, and for the future. We don't trust in, and I like to point out at least five here, things that we don't trust in or we shouldn't trust in. And one of those is found in Jeremiah 7, verse 4, if you'd like to turn to those. Jeremiah 7, verse 4. These are pages want to stick pretty much. Trust not in lying words. Trust not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Trust not in lying words. We're not to trust in them. We hear a lot of lying words today, even among Christians, among churches that claim to be on the right way. In lying words, you can be saved anyway. Just believe on the Lord. Do not trust in riches. In Mark 10:24, I guess I won't take time to turn to these, all these scriptures. But we're not to trust in riches. It's necessary that some people are rich. In a church even, it's necessary that some people have a lot of money. But we're not to trust in uncertain riches. They're uncertain. We might have riches today and be a pauper tomorrow. We don't really know. So we're not to trust in riches. And this is one that probably you question maybe a little bit. We're not to even trust in a friend. And that's found in Micah 7, verse 5. You know, when I thought about that a little, I thought, well, it's nice that we can talk to a friend and we can confide in them. But sometimes this might be juicy gossip. Maybe we ought to tell somebody else. So we need to be careful even that we don't trust even in a friend. Now there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and that's the Lord Jesus. We can trust him. We can trust his friendship. But sometimes friends might fail us. When we deal with people, we're human people. And we're subject to failures. Do not trust in the government. Well, now, where's that found in the scriptures? Well, it's not really spelled out that way, but that's what I gather from. It's from Psalm 118, verse 8 and 9. Do not trust in the government. We know you can't do that. We know that. We can't trust in our government today. We have a false government. We have a government that's not really living and showing and shedding the truth. Then finally, we shouldn't trust in ourselves. That's 2 Corinthians 1, verse 9. Do not trust in yourself. Well, I find that to be true. In my own life, like I said a while ago, we're human beings and we do fail sometimes. So we're not to trust. Put our trust. I think really what the scripture is teaching here is put your trust in the Lord Jesus, not in anything else, but the Lord Jesus. We can really trust in him. We can trust in the living God in 1 Timothy 4, verse 10. We can trust in the living God. I'd like to just go back, and I'd like for you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 2. There is the story of Rahab. She trusted in Israel's God. I think we're going to take time to read at least part of this chapter. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entering into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan under the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were going out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof and said unto them, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, and when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God," listen to this, "for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. She put a scarlet thread in the, or scarlet rope, I guess it would have been, in the window, and let them down, verse 18 says. And brethren have, years gone by, have spoken of this as the blood of Jesus. A scarlet rope, a place of safety for the these two spies. And if I understand this right here, I think I remember that she left that cord there in that window, in down that wall, as a reminder. And when the two returned, or when the army returned, they would see that scarlet rope, and saved her and her family. She trusted in the God, in the Lord God. As soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Rahab really did trust in Israel's God. She had a remarkable faith. Although it seemed incredible that Joshua's unequipped army would be able to break down or scale the walls of Jericho, she remembered what God had done for the Israelites in the past. So she put her trust in the living God. And her trust in God involved the past, the present, and the future. Concerning the past, we know that God has proven his love and power, especially in giving his son to die for us, for our salvation, and in bringing him back to life. We believe that. That's the truth. In the present, he speaks to us through his word. He hears our prayers, provides grace for the trials that come along. For the future, he promises that we will live with him forever. Would you like to get to heaven? He has made the way open for us. Remember that trust involves these three tenses. Reflect on God's faithfulness in the past and the present, and you will have good reason to trust him for the future. In the past, the Lord has helped us, guiding and loving all the way. Let us therefore trust his promise, grace sufficient for every day. In Joshua 2, as I said before, Rahab trusted, believed, and she trusted in that living God that he was going to save her house. The spies came to her house. I don't understand that. Harlot's house. But I don't think that the lesson that we're to gather here is that her faith was in the living God, the God that the Israelites served. And through that belief and that trust, her household was saved. And so it is, I think, with us, when we trust in him and obey his word. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. There's another song. I was just trying to look here. I thought I had it wrote down. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. It's sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Is that the kind of trust that you and I have tonight? It's so sweet to trust in Jesus. I don't know who, what for songwriter it was anymore that wrote this, but I'd like to get the black hymnal and look at the rest of that. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self-disease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him. Did you ever prove him? Over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. It was written by a woman, Mrs. Louisa Stead, but it beautiful words in that hymn. Comes from Psalm 40, verse 4. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And I want to tell you tonight, trust in Jesus. There's a verse in Proverbs 3, and we're so familiar with that. And I'd like us to say that verse together. Proverbs 3, verses 4 and 5. 5 and 6. Let's say it together. Maybe if you don't have it, get it in your Bible. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Isn't that something? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Sometimes our understanding's all right, and sometimes it isn't. So we need to trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Trust relaxes us. When we can trust, it brings peace. Tranquility of life is found in trust. Our relationships that are built around trust find contentment in the beauties because trust. My mind goes to our Lord Jesus as he walked on the earth and how he trusted his Father, even unto death. He was able to walk, take the abuses that came his way. And everybody wondered, why was he at such peace? It's because he trusted. And we can do the same. I was reminded of some of the thoughts that he brought to us about things we can't trust in. We live in a world that's trying to teach us not to trust. But I am so thankful tonight we serve a God that we can trust. We can trust him for his creation of us. We can trust him for his protection of us. Most of all, we can trust him for his salvation of us. And also, we can trust him for the future. Heaven is coming, and we trust him for that. May we rise in prayer.